Good morning. Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. So wonderful to have you here this morning. We're thankful that you're here. And if you are in the sanctuary, let us know by signing in on the friendship booklets that are found in the pew racks. If you're a visitor this morning and would like more information on the ministry, give me a cell phone number or an email address, and I'll be in touch this next week. And if you'd like, we could talk more about the ministry here. Welcome to those on KXRB. We're here every Sunday morning on the radio, so when you have opportunity, we'd love it when you to tune us in and have church with us. That's wonderful. Welcome to those on live stream as well. Good to have you via the internet. Well, today we continue on in our series, Where is Christ in the Old Testament? And today we have a rather long reading. We're looking at Genesis chapter 25 and all of Genesis 27, Esau and Jacob, and kind of this TV mini-series that we'll be looking at is Twin Trouble for our message today. Well, the announcement should be scrolling soon in front of you on the screens, and just a reminder about our Wednesday nights. We have Bible studies, we have children activities, we have choir, and of course we have supper on Wednesday starting at 5:30, and the menu this Wednesday is chicken noodle casserole and salad. You're welcome just to come and share food and fellowship and then leave or take advantage of all of the other activities that are going on as well. Next announcement, please join us next Sunday as we celebrate Reformation Sunday for a hymn sing starting around 7:45 for those that are here. Come a little bit early to the service. Maxine will be up playing some traditional Reformation songs and we'll sing together and share those favorite hymns of faith. So that's next Sunday, 7:45, hymn sing before the service at 8. And then the next announcement, Trunk and Treat is 1 week away. Trunk and Treat is 4 to 5:30 right over here in our parking lot. We're calling out for trunks as this was written. We only have three trunks or three families that are signed up for trunks. We need 10 to 12 trunks. So you are the church and we need you. You are the ones who make the ministries that we give you opportunity to participate in work. So I guess I'm calling out, check it out. You can come and pass out candy. You don't have to dress up a trunk, even though that's great. Or you can bring candy, or you could work at the craft table. We have a Jesus event as well that you could help with to try to get Christ into the trunk and treat. So there's a lot of ways to help serve. So please prayerfully consider so we can carry this on as we have. Next announcement. The LWML is having its fall rally November 1st at Zion Lutheran Church in Canastota, South Dakota. I'll be there to lead the Bible study, and then Jay Schaefer from Main Street Living will be the keynote speaker. It runs from 8:30 till about noon, and then I learned yesterday at the board meeting, yes, there's lunch following. So, and finally, the last announcement, and on that same Sunday, November 1st, the Zion Women's Ministry is offering a self-defense class from 2 to 3 here at the church. There's a limited amount of space. There's information flyers in the back of the sanctuary on the table with the black cloth. And then, after the self-defense class, if you don't want to participate in that, if you do, just know that the Bible study, the normal gathering, will happen at 3 o'clock till about 5. If you have any questions, contact Leah Petey, and you can find her in the church directory. Well, those are the announcements I have for you this day. What a wonderful day it is to be together in the Lord's name. Let's rise and greet each other in that name.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church in the heart of Sioux Falls. Please join us now as our worship service begins. The congregation will be singing the opening hymn from the Lutheran service, book number 717, Eternal Father, Strong to Save.
Thank you.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess that our faith wavers at times. We allow things of this world to produce uncertainty and fear within us. Although we believe in your victory at the end of time, we fail to trust you to protect us and relieve our anxieties each day. Forgive us, strengthen our faith in your almighty power and unconditional love, and turn us again toward your will. Grant us to serve you in peace and joy. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, gave his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our intro this morning is Psalm 84 and is responsive. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. A place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. They go from strength to strength. Hear my prayer, O God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. No good things does he withhold. Lord Almighty, glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord, whose gracious presence never fails to guide and govern those whom you have nurtured in your steadfast love and worship, make us ever revere and adore your holy name through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. We'll have our time in the Word.
Good morning. Good morning. Children's reading today is on page 48. Jacob lies to his father. Now Isaac has become very old, and soon he will die. His two baby boys have grown up now, and one of them is kneeling down in front of him. It is Jacob who is kneeling there. Jacob is telling his father a lie. His father cannot see very well because he is so old. He thinks that it is the other boy, his other boy who is kneeling there. He does not know that it is Jacob. The father wants to give some nice things to his other boy, and Jacob says that he is the other boy. So now the father will give the nice things to Jacob. Jacob wants nice things. He tells a lie to get them. Dear Lord, help me not to be like Jacob, but to always tell the truth. Amen. Our reading today comes from Genesis chapter 25, verses 19 through 34, and chapter 27, verses 1 through 45. This is the account of the family line of Abraham's son Isaac. Abraham became the father of Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he married Rebekah, daughter of Bethuel of Aramean, and Paddan Aram, a sister of Laban the Aramean. Isaac prayed to the Lord on behalf of his wife because she was childless. The Lord answered his prayer, and his wife Rebekah became pregnant. The babies jostled each other within her, and she said, "Why is this happening to me?" So she went to inquire of the Lord. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb, and two peoples from within you will be separated. One people will be stronger than the other, and the older will serve the younger." When the time came for her to give birth, there were twin boys in her womb. The first one to come out was red, and his whole body was hairy, was like a hairy garment. So they named him Esau. After this, his brother came out, with his hand grasping Esau's heel. So he was named Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when Rebekah gave birth to them. The boys grew up, and Esau became a skillful hunter, a man of the open country, while Jacob was content to stay at home among the tents. Isaac, who had a taste for wild game, loved Esau, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Once, when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I am famished." That is why he was also called Edom. Jacob replied, "First sell me your birthright. Look, I am about to die." Esau said, "What good is a birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some lentil stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. So Esau despised his birthright. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for Esau, his older son, and said to him, "My son, here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I am now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country and hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat, so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game and bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock and bring me two choice young goats so that I can prepare some tasty food for your father, just the way he likes it. Then take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing. His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do as I say and go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother, and she prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of Esau, her older brother, which she had in the house, and put them on her younger son. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with goatskins. Then she handed to her son, Jacob, the tasty food and bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father. "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you have told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord, your God, gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you are really my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac, who touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, but the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," he replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed." After Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence, his brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." His father Isaac asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came, and I bless him. And indeed, he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully and took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he has taken advantage of me. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he asked, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him with grain and new wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." Then Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's richness, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her older son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban in Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you and forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back there. Why should I lose both of you in one day?" This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I invite the children forward for the children's message.
The congregation will sing the sermon hymn from the Lutheran service book number 686, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, the chapters before us in Genesis 25 and 27, they lay bare this raw, broken reality of the family of Isaac. It isn't a Sunday school board felt type lesson. This is a family drama worth a TV miniseries. It's filled with favoritism and jealousy and deceit, and a profound spiritual short-sightedness. And the mini-series title today is Esau and Jacob, Twin Trouble. Because we see a father, Isaac, going blind and clinging to his favorite son. We have a mother, Rebekah, manipulating the sacred process. We have a hunter named Esau. He has an eternal inheritance. He gave it away by eating a bowl of stew. And we have a schemer named Jacob, exploiting his brother's hunger and his father's blindness. And in this mess of human sin and this mess of human weakness, we ask the question, where is Christ? Where is Christ in the Old Testament text that is before us today? That's the question we've been asking, and I hopefully answering this fall as we travel together on Sundays. So when we ask this question, where is Christ in the Old Testament, as you can see before you, there's another way that we could ask this question. Where's the gospel? Where's the gospel in this Old Testament text? And as far as I can see, the eyes of the world, Christ and the gospel are nowhere to be found. But as we read this text and hear this text with the eyes and ears of faith, Christ, the gospel, he is the only answer to this chaos. He's the only fulfillment of the blessing, and he is the foundation of the hope that keeps this faith of this dysfunctional family, and maybe ours too, within the scope of God's plan. We begin with just a little bit about the law. The law, as we learn in confirmation, shows our sin. And the law in our life must speak first, because we have to hear the condemnation of the law, because the law is that voice that shows us our desperate need for a Savior. So the first scene of our tragic mini-series, Twin Troubles, we have Esau. Esau returning, he's hungry from the field, he confronts Jacob, who is cooking. Let me gulp down some of that red stew, he says. And Jacob, the ever opportunist, don't miss that, he seizes the moment. Sell your birthright to me first, Esau. And I find Esau's response rather chilling. He says, I'm about to die. Of what use is a birthright to me? So for a single meal, for a fleeting moment of earthly satisfaction, Esau despises his birthright, it says. Now, the birthright, you should know, of the Old Testament was everything. It meant a double portion of the inheritance. And even more crucial, it meant the spiritual leadership of the family, the line in which the great promise of salvation would come through, the messianic promise would flow, and Esau traded the spiritual, eternal, holy for the temporal, immediate, earthly. And here the law turns, you see, its accusing finger toward us this morning, because we're all Esau's. How often do we trade the immense, the eternal blessing of Christ for a momentary comfort of sin? How often do we despise the spiritual inheritance that we possess? You know, the fellowship, the word, prayer, a pure, obedient life. How often do we trade that in this earthly world for a bowl of lentil stew? For the quick comfort of gossip, maybe, for the gratification, maybe, of pornography, or maybe a temporal security of a lie. See, the law shows us that our sin isn't merely just some kind of a mistake. It's a despising of God's supreme gift. The law condemns us as those who value the creature more than we value the Creator. And now we roll into that second scene. And it turns even darker in our mini-series of twin troubles. It's a web of deceit. Isaac, right? He's blinded by age. He's also blinded by favoritism. He's preparing to bless Esau. Rebekah, she's driven by divine prophecy and her own manipulation of the process. She's orchestrating a breathtaking fraud, is she not? Jacob, he's in the goatskin. He's disguised and he puts on that skin so his father would think he was Esau. He lies to his dying blind father. He's claiming to be Esau. And this is the most dangerous kind of sin. The most dangerous kind of sin, of course, is the sin of good intention carried out by evil means. Rebekah and Isaac, they knew the prophecy on the screen. The Lord said to her, "Two nations are in your womb. Two peoples are within you. They'll be separated. One people will be stronger than the other. The older will serve the younger." They knew God had chosen Jacob. Yet they believed that he needed their help, that God needed their help. They thought God's promise maybe was too fragile to stand on its own, that it needed, you know, some clever lies, needed some sheepskin laid over the top of it, maybe some prepared venison to succeed. So again, the law here exposes this deep-seated need for works righteousness, is what we're supposed to see here theologically. We too want the blessing of God. We're tempted to secure it through our own performance, our own tricks, our own good deeds layered over the true sinful nature that all lies within us. So we put on the goat skin, if you will. Maybe it's piety, maybe it's church attendance, maybe it's the service that you do, maybe it's just outward moralism. And we approach God, hoping to deceive Him, covered in those skins of sin, because we want the blessing too, don't we? The law declares that every attempt to earn or to seize God's grace through this manipulation, even with good intentions, it's damning us. It leads us to broken relationships and to bitterness. And Esau's bitterness and weeping is this. His despair is this on the screen. "Have you but one blessing, my father? Bless me, even me also, O my father." So the law is spoken now. We've talked about that. It's condemned Esau for despising the grace. Don't miss it. It's condemned Jacob as well for trying to steal it. But now, the gospel breaks through. It's really in our mini-series here, Twin Troubles. It's the hidden hand of God that comes into play here. And grace is stronger than our sins. So we come to scene 3. And in scene 3, we see the central astonishing fact of this narrative, and it's that the blessing once given is irrevocable. It can never be taken away. And when Isaac discovers the fraud, he trembles violently, it says in the text. He's horrified, not only by the deception, but also by the realization that God has confirmed now the blessing, despite and even through the wicked means in which it was obtained by. Isaac says to Esau on the screen, "Behold, I've made him lord over you. What then can I do for you, my son?" And in that particular verse, chapter 27, verse 37, is a profound, again, theological truth for us. And here it is. It's on the screen. God's sovereign purpose cannot be hindered by human sin. God's sovereign purpose cannot be hindered by human sin. The law judges the act of deception, but the gospel reveals that God, in His hidden power, His grace, used the sinful action of Jacob and Rebekah to bring about His electing will. That's the essence of the biblical theology of the Bible. Grace is utterly free. Jacob didn't earn the blessing. He actually stole the blessing, but he was chosen by God before he was born, not because of his goodness, but purely out of God's elective will, right? The older shall serve the younger. So God's grace isn't a reward for a merit. It's a gift bestowed upon the unworthy. If God's promise could be revoked because of Jacob's sin, where would our hope be? It would rest on our shaky performance, would it not? So Jacob the younger, the undeserving schemer, is chosen as the spiritual heir, and this foreshadows a major New Testament theme. The Apostle Paul uses the story of Jacob and Esau to illustrate that God's choice isn't based on works. It's based on Him who calls. So the unworthy heir is a type of God's people. You'll see it up here. It's Romans chapter 9, verse 10 to 13, where Paul talks about this. And he writes, "Not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand, not by works, but by Him who calls, she was told, Rebekah, the older shall serve the younger. And just as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated." Now you could also substitute some words in there. Jacob I accepted, but Esau I rejected. Jacob, the cheat. Don't miss it. He becomes a type of the new people of God. See, he's us as well. He's the church, Jacob. We're not chosen because we are the older. We're not chosen because we're the worthier inheritor. No, we are chosen out of our spiritual poverty and the deceit in our own heart. God bypassed the natural order. Esau, the strong hunter. Nope, he chooses the weaker, the manipulative one, the one who deserves judgment, Jacob. It's the scandal of grace, is it not? It's the scandal of grace. Salvation is for those who are sinners. Salvation is for those who are unworthy. So, on the screen, how does Christ fulfill this chaotic drama and become this true revealed answer to the law's condemnation and the blessing's promise? So we come to scene 4. The revealed Christ and the true and eternal blessing. Again, Esau sold the spiritual birthright for an earthly meal. Christ, by contrast, gives us this true eternal birthright. He gives us our inheritance in heaven, and how does He give it to us? For nothing. It's a gift. Christ, dear friends, is the true and unbought birthright. On the screen will come up Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 to 14. The Apostle Paul again, he writes this, "And giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of His holy people in the kingdom of light, for He has rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He's brought us into the kingdom of the Son He loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." He purchased it not with a bowl of lentil stew. He purchased it with his own body and blood shed upon the cross. We, the famished Esaus of this world, we are invited not to buy the blessing, dear friends. We are invited to receive the feast of the gospel. Christ is the true and better Jacob. Jacob stole the temporary earthly blessing with lies and deceit, and immediately that led to exile. He got sent away. Christ, the truth incarnate, he didn't steal the blessing. He said this on the screen. He said, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me." He earned it perfectly through his sinful life and then freely gives it away to those who deserve the curse. He took the curse, he took the exile, the death that Jacob and Esau and all humanity had earned so that we may receive the blessing that he earned. Life, righteousness, salvation. And so we spin into scene 5 now. Twin Troubles, miniseries. It'll be on TV, you wait and see. It's the blessing of Abraham, complete in Christ. The blessing that Isaac gave to Jacob was the Abrahamic promise, right? Land, nation, and the promise that on the screen from Genesis 12:3, in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. This is the messianic promise. This is the blessing fought over, schemed for, almost ruined by sin, finds its final and absolute fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Christ, dear friends, is the blessing. He is the seed of Abraham who was promised. From Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 on the screen, Paul again writes, "The promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed." Scripture does not say, "and to seeds," plural, meaning many people, but "to your seed," meaning one person who is Christ. So the deceit and the brokenness of Isaac's family threaten to derail the promise, but they can't. They cannot. God's yes to the promise is absolute, it is sure, and it's revealed and accomplished in who? Christ. Look at the screen. 2 Corinthians 1:20. "For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ, and so through him the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. He is the one through whom the blessing comes. He is righteousness. He is the forgiveness. He is the peace. He extended not just to those tribe, but to all nations, to the families of the earth, to you and to me." So when we read Genesis chapter 27, don't look for Jacob's trickery, especially for your model. We look for God's faithfulness as our comfort. We realize that the blessing isn't a result of putting the right goat skins or giving the right offering. Our blessing is Christ alone. We are justified by faith apart from any works or deeds or schemes. And so we come to the last scene. The concluding scene made for TV miniseries, Esau and Jacob, Twin Trouble. The concluding scene is named Rest in the Assurance of Grace. And as we each look into the mirror of these chapters of 25 and 27, questions are popping up on the screen. Do you see the Esau in you? You know, the one who trades eternal worth for earthly pleasure. And then the next one is, do you see the Jacob in you? The one who manipulates and schemes to earn God's favor. Well, let me say, the law condemnation is complete. If you're like me, I'm standing here thinking, I'm guilty. I'm Esau. I'm Jacob. But let me have you hear this today. The gospel is greater. Christ is greater. Hear this. God doesn't demand you to become worthy. What God commands you to do is to believe that Christ has made you worthy. The blessing secured on the cross is yours, not because you're good, but because Christ is good. The blessing of Christ, dear friends, is stronger than our deceit, stronger than our despair, stronger than anything we have to offer. And the blessing of Christ is more certain than the rising of the sun tomorrow. Rest, dear friends, in that assurance. Rest in it. The God who works His perfect will through the messy lives of Esau and Jacob, the twin troubles, He'll surely work His grace in you. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Well, if you're able, I'd ask you to please rise and we'll confess our common faith with the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be.
The congregation will sing the offering Hampton Lutheran Service Book number 537, Beautiful Savior.
Please rise for prayer if you are able. Almighty God, we give thanks for all your goodness and bless you for the love that sustains us from day to day. We praise you for the gift of your Son, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, for your Holy Church, for the means of grace, for the lives of all faithful and just people, and for the hope of the life to come. Help us to treasure in our hearts all that you have done for us, and enable us to show our thankfulness in lives that are wholly given to your service. Lord, in your mercy, preserve our nation in justice and honor that we may lead a peaceable life with integrity. Grant health and favor to all who bear office in our land, especially the President and Congress of the United States, the Governor and Legislature of this state, and to all of those who make, administer, and judge our laws. Help them to preserve this people according to your holy will, Lord, in your mercy. Take from us all hatred and prejudice. Give us the spirit of love and order our days in your peace. Prosper the labor of those who work to bring peace and justice to the nations of the world, that mutual understanding and common endeavor may be increased among all peoples. Lord, in your mercy. By your word and Holy Spirit, comfort all who are in sorrow or need, sickness or adversity. Be with those who suffer persecution for the faith. Have mercy on those to whom death draws near. Bring consolation to those in sorrow, and grant to all a measure of your love, taking them into your tender care. Lord, in your mercy. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Jesus Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith to their abundant blessing. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who, out of love for his fallen creation, humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. We join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And after he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and after he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
The congregation will sing the closing hymn from the Lutheran service book, number 814, O Bless the Lord, My Soul.
At Zion Lutheran, we are committed to reaching out, strengthening the saved, and serving Jesus Christ by serving others. Amen. Have a blessed Sunday, all.
You've been listening to a broadcast of the early morning worship service of Zion Lutheran Church in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If you have no regular church home, we want to invite you to be our guest for our Sunday services. Traditional worship is held at 8 a.m. and a contemporary worship service at 10:30. Our educational hour with classes for all ages is at 9:15. Zion Lutheran Church is located one block west of Minnesota Avenue at 22nd and Spring and is affiliated with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we'd appreciate your prayers and financial support. Our mailing address is Zion Lutheran Church, 1400 South Duluth Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57105. And visit us online at zionlutheransf.com. And find us on Facebook and YouTube as well. Thank you for listening and for your support in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings to each of you. Until next week, this is your announcer, Paul Farmer, wishing you the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus.